is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Oh, Jesus, He's all I need. Oh, He's all I need. Yes, He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. Oh yes, He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. We worship Him. Oh, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We worship Him. Yes, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, and He's all. All singing to Him. Praise the Lord. Jesus is all we need. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? What a privilege it is once again to get to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Aren't you glad for the truth? Aren't you glad that the truth crossed your path? Aren't you glad you had a heart to walk in the truth? Aren't you glad you've got some stability in what you believe in? You love the Lord with all your heart tonight? Give Him a big hand clap of praise. You love Him. Hallelujah. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. How about you tonight? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big grin. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. We worship Him. We worship Him. In spirit and in truth, we worship Him. Yes, we worship Him. In spirit and in truth. Oh, now He's all I need. Yes, He's all I need. Oh, sweet Jesus, He's all I need. Yes, He's all I need. Oh, He's all I need. Jesus is all. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Lance Parker, if you get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Terry Horn sends this in to please remember our son Brad in prayer. He will be leaving in a few days for the little country of Kyrgyzstan. I hope I got that right, Brother Terry. Near the Russian border for a 6-month deployment. Pray for his spiritual maturity and safety. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I love that young man, and we just pray God will be with him and his family. Please pray for our friend's sister who was diagnosed with stage 4 mouth cancer and was told that they would have to remove her tongue. Also pray for her family. This is from Brother Al in New York, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. I want you to remember a friend of ours from Kingsport, Gary Davis, had knee replacement surgery and has been quite a few complications, and they're asking that we would pray for him. Also, the manager of Walmart had to have some shots put in his back, and he asked us to pray for him. So I told him we'd be sure and remember him in prayer as we pray tonight. Brother Abe Dyke from Texas called to thank everyone for their prayers concerning his daughter and her husband. He asked that we would continue praying for them and for God's perfect will concerning the situation. So we just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Gary Stanky from Brother Tim Pruitt's church, very weak and sick from colon surgery, in desperate need of prayer for complications. So we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just be with him, give him healing in his body. Sister Linda Lawrence is having a CT scan tomorrow. Pray that everything will turn out well. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Bert Thomason sends this in to please pray for my cousin, DeArca Thomason. I hope I got that name right, Brother Bert, who is between life and death in a very heartbreaking situation. She needs a miracle and God's keeping grace to guide her through. Thank you. And let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Brother Gary Harris sends this in to please pray for our daughter, Kelly. She is in a lot of pain, going for a CAT scan tomorrow. So let's pray that that will turn out well for her. I want to pray for Sister Connie McGarra. She fell over the weekend and had to have hip replacement on Monday. She isn't responding very well to the medicine. Please pray for a swift recovery. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. And remember, Brother Reese sends us in to pray for his uncle, Bud. Has gotten worse since Sunday, so let's continue to pray for that need tonight. Also, Brother Bill Yance, we want to continue to remember him in prayer. Brother Junior Davis, just continue to remember him in prayer. Brother Tracy, the Lord bringing Brother Tracy along, and we just appreciate him being able to be in the house of the Lord with us. Well, we appreciate all of you being able to be here tonight. It's a real privilege to get to come to the house of the Lord. And I know if you're a Christian, you miss when you're not here. I know you do. Where is Brother Lance? Is he here? Brother Lance, if you'll come tonight, let's stand. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you believe we're serving a God that can answer prayer? Has he answered prayer before for you? I'm sure he has. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Lance, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's go to the Lord. Dear Jesus, as I heard these requests, they were so diverse. And then after listening to them and thinking about just us as a group, we are so diverse. I'm so different from my brothers and sisters, and they're so different from different ones. We're all so different. So with those differences come so many different needs. For my life right now, I can sit and think there's 3 needs, 4 needs, 5. There's so many different needs that I have in my body, physically, mentally, my children, my wife. And I know that each person here can say the same thing because we're all humans. But when I really sit back and I look at all my problems, all of my issues and everything, there's one thing I can truly say. When it comes down to everything, they can all be answered with you, Lord. What I need is Jesus for each circumstance. So, Lord, with these requests, I sincerely believe every one of them can be answered with you. They might think that they need money, or they might think they need some other thing, a healing, or they think that they need a spiritual deliverance. But when it comes down to it, what we need is Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we want you to know tonight, Father, we need you, Lord. We need you here with us all the time. We need you, dear God, when we're sick, and we need you when we're healthy. We need you, dear Lord, when we're praying for others. We need you, Lord, when we're up and when we're down. We don't want to live a day, a minute, an hour, a second without you, dear God, because we need more of you in our life. So we pray, dear God, come, Lord Jesus. And each one of these requests that was written, each hand that was raised, each person that asked for prayer, we pray, God, come and make yourself present for them to that particular situation, dear Lord, because what they really need is you. So we invite you to come, Lord. We pray you would come tonight and speak to us, dear God. Please, we're needy for so many different things, but with the sum total of those things are you. So we love you, Lord Jesus. We're desperate for you, Lord. We need you. We don't just want you, and it's not just a fun, fancy thing. We have an intricate, sincere need for you in our hearts and our lives and more of you every second, dear God. So have your way, we pray, dear God, as we listen intently for your word, as we worship with all of our hearts to you, dear God, because you're the one that's worthy, as we give ourselves and pour ourselves out to you tonight, dear God, come, because we want to give it to you. We love you, dear God. Have your way now, we ask. And each one of these requests, may they be able to say of these requests, I had a problem, but then Jesus came. Grant it, we pray, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Lance. God bless you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give our King of Kings another hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us in this service tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All of our streaming friends from around the world, may God bless those folks as they stream our services. Pray that it'll be a blessing to them. A couple of announcements let me make real quickly for you. There'll be a trustee meeting in the men's nursery after the service tonight. Trustee meeting after service in the men's nursery. Anyone who has not signed up yet for the youth banquet, if you'd like to go, please do so by tomorrow afternoon, so that we will have a correct count for how many will be present for the banquet. There is still plenty of room for those who would like to attend. So remember that, young people. If you haven't signed up and you'd like to go, there's still room. Just do that by tomorrow afternoon. If tonight be a good time after service, let's do that, if you will. They've got plenty of room for you. He looked beyond my fault, Brother Terry. And he alone was big enough, Brother Rob, to do something about my situation. Have you had situations that only God could do something about? I shall for it lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to you the cross. Sing with all of our heart. Oh, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary. Oh, to you, where Jesus died for me. Saw my need. A couple of requests that slipped my mind tonight, and we want to remember those. Sister Phyllis Phillips, I understand that is she doing better? She's doing. They had some blockage, and they was concerned about maybe. But anyway, want to remember Sister Phyllis in prayer that the Lord would touch her. I know her and Brother Pink would be here in the service tonight if they was able. But let's pray for Sister Phyllis tonight. Just hold her in your heart. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. There's victory in Jesus. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and He bought me with His
streets of gold. Aren't you glad that there's victory in him tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 19, the scripture tells us, let us be glad and make merry, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The preceding verse to that, the great hallelujahs begin to roll. It's quite amazing when you look at it. It's one of the last songs of the book of Revelation. And that song leads up to the announcing of the marriage of the Lamb. We ought to rejoice tonight, because that's part of who we are. Amen. Appreciate His mercy and grace to you. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Amen. Let's sing that together again. We'll ask Brother David just to come while we're singing this and worshiping the Lord. How many has a need in your heart or your life tonight? You believe God's going to meet with you, meet with us together in this place? Amen. Let's sing it together again. We'll invite Brother David to come. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. Before I knew Him, Lord God.
The only one that could do it. Amen. Religion couldn't do it. Doctrine can't do it. It took His blood to do it for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to invite you to the scripture, to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we want to look at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. How many can say the Lord's just been good to you? Amen. Ain't He just good to us? Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. How many is thankful for ears to be able to hear? And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. And he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, you see how quick God can do something for you? And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. One little small verse, verse 49. And Jesus stood still. That's what I'd like to speak to you tonight on. And Jesus stood still. Let's just bow our hearts if you would. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. We are so thankful that you've allowed us to be able to gather here again. And Lord, we are of such need of you to come by tonight. I need you to come and help me, Lord. Your people need help from you. We're asking that you take your word. May you open it to us, Lord. Father, we, like this blind man, at one time we was blind, but our eyes has come open. So we pray tonight, take your word, Lord. Break it into us, Lord. May you encourage those that's discouraged. Lift up those that may have been down. I pray, Father, that you'd help us tonight. May you move through the building. May you charge the atmosphere with faith tonight. May we leave here this building rejoicing. May we leave here excited about what you have done in our lives. Grant it tonight, Lord. Just once more, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. And Jesus stood still. The Bible tells us in the book of John about miracles and how that so many things had been done through Scripture. But we understand that not every miracle was going to be recorded in the Scripture. Everything that Jesus done was not recorded in the Scripture. Because the Bible said in John 21:25, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So that tells us we understand that God was only going to allow a handful of these things, these miracles that was done. He was going to only allow a certain amount of them to be able to be recorded in the Scripture. That tells me the Holy Spirit knew which ones that needed to be written and which ones did not need to be recorded. And I believe that those things that is written is things that God put there that would help you and I, that would encourage us. And we knew, and I believe that there's something about those things that are written is there to influence our lives. And God knew they was going to be an influence to us. And we need a gospel tonight that we can identify with. And he put those things that we could identify with. And we need a gospel like that. Something that is familiar to us. Something we can identify with. And I'm thankful the Bible is not written about men that was so great that never had issues, never had days of disappointments. But the Bible writes about men that are men just like you and I. Writes about women that are just like women that's in the church tonight. And we understand that we need a gospel that is, that when it speaks to us, it gets right down to where we live at. But then there, Brother M tells us in Who Is This Melchizedek, 1965, he said, how many times down through the age, when you're sent things, people fail to get it. Man is constantly praising God for what he did and saying what great things he's going to do, but they're ignoring what he's doing right now. And so has it been through every age. People are missing the fact that God still is. If he ever was, he still is. If he ever was a healer, he still is. If he ever was a king, he is still king tonight. If he ever was able to walk on water, he can still walk on water tonight. And I appreciate a God of yesterday. I appreciate what he's done. And no doubt, he's done great things. And I appreciate what God's going to do for you and I in the future. I believe there's great things that lays in store for us. But I need something to help me right now. I've got tests that I deal with right now. I need a God that can speak to my present situation. We have tests. We have trials. We got ups. We got downs. People have financial problems and job problems and mother-in-law problems. And amen, somebody. We've got problems everywhere we look. When we see that our nation is plagued with it. And it's something that our nation has brought upon itself because they rejected the word of God. And we need a gospel that can speak to us in a lost and dying world. We need a God of a God that's right now. That's why I'm so glad whenever he revealed himself to Moses, Moses said, Lord, who shall I say that sent me? He said, tell him I am that I am. Not I was. Not I was. Come on, somebody. But I am what I am. I am present tense. I am a present tense healer. I am a deliverer. I am right here in your situation. Whatever need you are, whatever you have, I am present to meet that need tonight. So he revealed himself in the way that he wants to be known. He wants to be known as the I am. That's why this message to me can never go out of date. Because the I am is the one who give us this message. That's why our Bibles can never go out of date. Because the I am is the one who wrote the Holy Script. The only book that the author can still speak to you tonight. He revealed himself in the way that he wants to be known. He wants to be known as the I am. We appreciate what he done yesterday, but I need him right here tonight. You need him on your job. You need him in your home. Your family needs him. Our young people, they need him tonight. They need to know of a God that's present right now. Hallelujah. Isn't it something out of all the scriptures? It seems that blindness is the one that's mentioned the most in the scripture. And let me tell you, that's something that it would be amazing us to know that God would write about natural blindness. But remember, Brother tells us there's something that's far worse than natural blindness, and that's spiritual blindness. And here our scene opens with a man that is blind. His name is Bartimaeus. His daddy's name is Timaeus. And he's sitting beside the road, and not only does the scripture tell us where he's at, but it also tells us what his ailment is. And it tells us what he's doing while he's there. So he's a blind man that's sitting on the side of the road. The road is where he understands the best opportunity to get an alms is to be sitting where everything's moving at. So in the highway, everything's moving in the highway. That's where the action is. That's where the movement is. That's where you go from one place to another. Because he's blind, he's sitting here on the side of the road. And let me just say this, his whole body is not sick. His legs is okay. His arms are okay. His hands are okay. But the only problem he has, he is blind tonight. But how many knows that one issue has the tendency to shut down everything else in your life because of one problem? Now notice, here is a man that is blind, and what a condition to be in. And I'll just tell you this, to me, this whole story is a picture of the church. It's because it's even a picture of this age. Remember the book of Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicea said, because thou sayest I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and you don't even know it, but you're wretched and miserable and poor, which means you're a beggar and you're blind. And this is a picture of a church that has lost its vision. It's the picture of someone who has lost their fire. They've lost their passion. They've lost their zeal to want to serve God. This could be any man in this building. This could be any woman in this building. This could be a young person. And the reason why I say that is because this is a man who desires to be well. He wants to walk in the highway like everybody else. He wants to see like everybody else. Amen. Oh my. But he's sitting on the side of the road, blind. And when you're blind, your vision's impaired and you can just see blackness. And regardless of how well everything else is, when your eyes are dim, just it's because you're darkened to what's really happening around you. So you depend on everything else around you to supersede what real problem you got. Now, here he is. He's blind. But notice, blindness can cause things in a church and in individuals. Proverbs says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no sight, it actually means to see at night.
see prophecy. So those who can't see during the nighttime, those who can't see in a dark age, those who cannot see prophecy tonight, you will perish without prophecy. And you can't have prophecy without a prophet tonight. So if you can't see the prophet, brother, you're in trouble. Oh my. When you see nothing but darkness, even though it's right around you, right in front of you, oh friends, can't you see the people around our message? Where there is no vision, they perish. It's because they have not the ability to be able to see and have night vision. Without vision, we're going to die. Amen. And here is blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting here while everybody else is walking up and down the road. Everybody else is passing him by. Everybody else sees him sitting there. But watch this. He's sitting there, but they would never exchange what they got for what he has. Think about that. What a horrible spot to be in. Sitting, begging, asking people to just give me an alm. Give me something that will just get me by. That's the problem with the church. We want something that just gets us by to another service or another weekend. When really what Bartimaeus needs is more than just an alm. He needs healed. I preach to people like that, haven't you? Oh my, if you're on the side of the road, there's something wrong with Bartimaeus. Here he is, and notice he's close enough. He can hear people walking up and down the road. He's close enough that he understands it's business as usual in Jericho. And now Jericho has been stirred up because something's going on in Jericho. Something's happening in Jericho. Matter of fact, Zacchaeus was in a tree and he went just to catch a glimpse of Jesus walking by. And maybe he thought he had a good hiding place. But Jesus knew right where he was at. Jericho now is moving and everything is in action. Everything is moving. And here this man is. Bartimaeus is sitting here. He's close enough. He can feel the breeze of people moving by. He understands that things is going on. But here he sits and his vision has restricted him from being able to get up and walk like everybody else. Hallelujah. His vision has restricted him from being like everybody else in the church. Come on, somebody. He wants to see like everybody else. He wants to walk like everybody else. He wants to be involved with things. He wants to see. He wants vision. He wants to be able to see things. I can't think of nothing worse than to be hungering for a move of God and to be sitting there begging. It don't even make sense to be hungering for God to do something for you. But here he is sitting here and it looks like everybody else around him is fine. You ever been there? Everybody else in the church is okay. Everybody else in the church is seeing right. Everybody else is getting blessed. Everybody seems to be catching revelation. But I'm sitting here blind. You ever just been there where it seems like you're the only person in this church that's going through trouble? I'm the only person that's having problems. I'm the only person that's going through this type of a sin. Ain't nobody else facing anything. Ain't nobody, anybody else going through anything. And Satan is sitting there lying to you because he probably done the person right beside you. They've been thinking the same thing. And you sit there, service in and service out, sermon after sermon, message after message, you sit there. Maybe you're waiting on a revival. Maybe you're waiting on something else. Let me tell you something, Bartimaeus. Tonight is your night. If you ever get to a place where you just feel like I need to move from where I'm at. Spiritually, I need some movement in my life. I need some stimulation from somewhere. I'm tired of just sitting here hearing good preaching but really not taking nothing out of it. Listen, it ain't your fault. It's the devil blinding you. There's times we want to be refreshed. Paul talks about times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. There's times we need times of refreshing. Amen, somebody. We need to be able to see. We need to see what God's doing in our lives. We need to see God moving in our lives. And you're hungering for it. You desire it. But you just can't see where to find it at. And it's not the preacher's fault. It ain't the deacon's fault. It ain't the preacher, Brother David. Amen. The Bible said Bartimaeus was sitting there begging. Think about this. When your circumstance becomes so bad that you resort to begging, you're in bad shape. Think about this. Begging for a move of God. Begging to want to see. Begging to want to feel His presence. Do you understand to be a beggar means your occupation is begging? And this man is just like a lot of people today. If we're not careful, we give up on being any better and we just accept where we're at. Woo. He had accepted his situation. He just accepted, this is just my life. This is just the way it's going to be. It's just always going to be this way. Amen. He accepted his place on the side of the road. He accepted his blindness. He had accepted it so much, he had actually developed a system to be able to survive with his condition. How many's with me tonight? If we ain't careful, we just begin to survive with what issues we got besides really crying out to God for help. We just come up with a system of survival. He don't need survival. He needs a revival. He needs God to come present, speak to him. He needs God to move on him. My. Just like people around our message. No doubt, this day was like no other. Here he is. He goes to his normal spot. Maybe he had just given up. And he got to thinking, maybe this is all life has to offer. Gosh, this is all Happy Valley has to offer. Can I preach tonight? This is all the message has to offer. Amen. We just come here. We sit here in this building three times a week. We hear the preaching. We hear the worship. We hear the song service. And it's just, but I mean, it's just another service. It's just Brother Donnie. Come on, somebody. It's just what? I'll tell you what it is. It's another opportunity for your faith to be able to move. It's another opportunity for you to receive your healing. It's just another chance that you can leave here with your eyesight. Maybe this is the way I'll always be. Maybe I'll always be like this. Maybe this is just the way a teenager's supposed to live. Maybe this is just the way my life is supposed to be. Whew. I'm never going to see again. Amen. I'm just going to have to feel my way through life. You ever seen people like that? People that just give up. And people that give up, they get so bitter. I mean, they get bitter. They get mean and they get bitter. I mean as 14 demons, so mean they could chew a piece of leather in half. Bitter, mean, just mad. How's your day doing? What's it matter to you anyway? Well, how you feeling? What do you care? Just mad. I mean mad at the world, mad at God, mad at the devil, mad at everybody, mad at his wife, mad at their children, just mad. Woo! Because he thinks God gave up on him. You can sit there and think it may never be you, but I guarantee the devil's told you that. That Jesus don't care nothing about you. You just around this message because your daddy was or your mama was or a grandpa. I come to tell you tonight, you are not here by chance. Ruth was not on the field of Boaz by chance. She had AJPC had up on the field of Boaz, she was elected to move to that field. You're not here by coincidence. You're here because God wants you here. And people has a tendency just to give up and sit on the side of the road. Amen. People like that drives me crazy. Their life is a spiritual roller coaster. They're up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next. And I sit there. And let me tell you, there's times they can shout with the best of them. They can sing louder than anybody in the church. How many knows what I'm talking about? I mean, they can really, but finally, if they ain't seen the presence of God in a while, if you ain't careful, we start giving up on God. And I've seen people get mad because they throw up a Hail Mary prayer of the last second of the fourth quarter and they expect God to sit there and just wait for them to ask it. I'm telling you, friends, and they get mad at God over it. And now they go to church. They go to church right beside the highway. Preach, Brother David. And they sit beside the highway, but they ain't thinking they're going to get anything out of God this service. Because God don't care about me. I mean, He can speak to this brother and this sister. He can speak to my wife, but He can't speak to me. He can speak to my husband, but He can't speak to me. I'm telling you, Bartimaeus, you don't have to sit there no more. That is a lie of the devil, and you don't have to sit there. Somebody's fixing to pass by. Woo! You ever been around people like that? Husbands, don't look at your wife right now. Lord. You ever been around people like that? But don't, there's people that I deal with sometimes. They drain me. You ever been around people like that? People that just, they wear you out. And they got them questions that nobody can. Brother Branham himself couldn't answer some of these questions. Do you think we'll be eating strawberry pie and drinking Starbucks in the millennium? They always got them questions. And you wouldn't give them your cell phone number if your life depended on it. There's an answer to all of this. You can never move forward until you get sick of where you're at. When you get sick of being there, sick of sitting, sick of not receiving blessings, sick of the devil lying to you, sick of all of it, you'll get up and cry to God. Hallelujah. You've got to become fed up with the walk that you're walking now. You got to be so hungry. I think that's where we make our mistakes at sometimes, is we're not hungry like we need to be. We let the preacher do all the praying. Let the preacher do the studying. Let the preacher listen. Preach, Brother David. Let all the ministry do all that. All I need to do is just come here, get out of bed on Sunday morning, sit on the pew. I'm telling you, it's more than that. You cannot expect religious service. You can't expect the Holy Ghost to pour out sitting at home on Saturday night watching television. How can you expect revival when you ain't desperate and hungry for God? Amen. You gotta be hungry to see God move. I come to preach tonight, somebody. I'm talking about people who's ready to take another step. I come to preach to some men who's tired of their wives being spiritual for them. I've come to preach to some sisters who is ready to get up and walk in the highway. I've come to preach to some people who's not just ready to make another step. They're ready to take another dimension over. People that's ready for a move of God. Tired. Tired of yesterday. Tired of complainers. Tired of grumblers. Tired of unbelievers. We worry about stuff we ain't got no business worrying about. I'm tired of that. Tired about who shakes my hand and who don't. Tired of worrying about crayons and color books. Tired of it. I hope somebody wants to move out in the highway a little while. I love this. The Bible said that blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by. I like that. You know what I get out of that? If he heard Jesus was passing by, there must have been some noise around Jesus. Brother David, the Bible never says nothing about Jesus hollering. It never says nothing about Jesus screaming. He may not. But everything Jesus touched got excited. Everything Jesus touched went into action. If you've been touched by Jesus, it'll throw you into action. I doubt very seriously they were sitting around Jesus with their arms folded, nodding their heads. He heard something is going on in Jericho. Something is happening in Jericho. We ain't heard noise like this in our church in a long time. We ain't heard worship like this in our assembly in a while. Something's going on in Jericho. Somebody's passing by. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. Something's going on. How can he hear unless somebody was saying something? Somebody was doing something. Woo! Aren't you glad that this message excites people? Aren't you glad this church is not entitled the first assembly of twice plucked up by the roots, House of God? Happy Valley, the first church of the chosen frozen. Aren't you glad that we're not some cold, dead, steel morgue? The temperature 30 below zero. Because if you get ice cubes in the pulpit, you'll get ice cubes in the pews. Preach, Brother David. The men will be ice cubes. The sisters will be ice cubes. The young people will be ice cubes. I tell you, we need a revival fire to burn it here tonight. To burn the sin out. To burn the unbelief out. We need the fire of God to visit us. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! We need it. And here he is. He can't see him coming, but he can hear him coming. He never got to see Jesus. He never got to see Jesus in his meetings. Preach, somebody. But he did get to hear him. Glory. Why? Something's taking place. Something's going on. He heard Jesus was passing by. Can I stop right here for just 1 second? How many's glad for preachers? Can I just give preachers props for a minute? You know why I thank God for preaching? Because 99.99% of the people that's in this building got saved under a preacher. Because somebody had enough about them to go out and preach the gospel. Without fame, without fortune. Come on, somebody. They dared to be different. Amen. Woo. I got saved under a preacher. Amen. The Bible said, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that that's a good person to hear that's coming. Remember, Brother Bram tells us he was to pass this way, 1957, blind Bartimaeus. Brother Bram said, remember, he had already heard stories from his mother of how that there was going to be a prophet like unto Moses. Hallelujah! Was going to raise up and he was going to be the Messiah. He had heard how Elijah and Elisha had went down to the River Jordan. He had heard about the Shunammite woman. He'd heard how God had moved from their knees. And the Bible says he began to cry out. He began to cry out. What was he doing before? Begging. Come on, man. What was he doing before? Begging. What's he doing now? Crying. Something about hearing about Jesus changed him from begging to crying. Crying out. There's a difference between crying and begging. Amen. If you're begging, you want somebody to give you something. If you're crying, you're crying to somebody who can change the situation you're in. Woo! Think about it. This is his opportunity. I like that. Isn't it amazing? A lot of people in the scripture, some, like the woman with the issue of blood, ran to where Jesus was and reached up and touched the hem of his garment. And she went to where he was. Then there's times in the scripture, like the woman at the well, that Jesus said, I have need to go by that well. But then there's a man in the scripture who happens to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right man that's coming by that can do something for him that priests couldn't change, doctors couldn't change, lawyers couldn't change. Preach, Brother David. This is his opportunity. Listen, Jesus is passing by. He's not stopping. He's not staying all night. He's passing by. So Bartimaeus knows, if he's passing by, I have got to do something to get his attention. I can't just sit here in this pew on a pretty Wednesday evening and just sit here with my arms folded. If I'm going to get something from Jesus, I'm going to have to start crying out. I can't sit here and expect him to stop and just see me, but I've got to do something to get his attention. He knows this has happened quickly. Think about it, friends. We read him and we preach it in a long sequence, but it was so quick it was happening. There's a small window of opportunity and he's got to act. So when he hears Jesus is coming by, think about it. Brother Raymond said he's sitting there on the rubble of the Jericho that had been destroyed and they had rebuilt Jericho up. And Jesus had passed through Jericho, but now he's leaving. Picture the church, somebody. He's leaving Jericho. He's going to Jerusalem. You understand? He's leaving the Gentiles. He's going back to the Jews. Church, this is your opportunity. He's leaving, passing by. Y'all hear that? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. What a good age to preach that in. Jesus is coming. What'd you say? I said Jesus was coming. Somebody's coming. Yeah. Jesus is coming. And the roar gets greater and greater. Jesus is coming. I said he's coming. Somebody runs by and said, hey, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The rest of Bartimaeus said, who is it? And the woman stops and says, don't you know? It's the Messiah. I've heard stories since I was a child of how that he was going to come and change people. Glory! I've heard since I was just a little boy of what he would do when the Messiah comes. He's coming. He's coming. What am I going to do? Jesus! Jesus! Thou Son of David! Have mercy on me! I don't know where you're at. I've been turned around. Preach, somebody. I've been turned around. I don't know exactly where you're at. I'm a little bit lost. But I'm wanting to be found. I'm blind, but I want to see. Brother David, I can't do that. How bad do you want to see anyway? I mean, what's people going to think if I start crying out in church? What happens if they hear me getting a little bit loud and tears start streaming down my face? What's people going to think? One of the biggest hindrances around our message. What's people going to think if they see me being around this message for 30 years and they see me knelt down at an altar? I'll tell you what I'm going to think. They just need a refreshing. They need something from Jesus. They are desperate and they need something from God. But the devil will tell you, people's going to think you backslid. They're going to think you backslid. And there's going to be people in church, I always knew it. I mean, I always knew it. I've always watched them. Uh-huh. Why didn't you call it out before people fell anyway? Wishing bad on people. Wishing faults on people. What's people going to think if they see me go up there? That's the reason I tell you, friends, there's some people on this mission, they ain't coming up and getting prayed for. I don't care how good the sermon was. Because they're worried about what people's going to think. Like a man told me one time, but Brother David, I don't want to rock the boat. I'm going to rock this boat. I said, if your need is bad enough, you're going to rock the boat, brother. You don't care what the deacons think. You don't care what the people think. If you get a bad enough need, you don't care what anybody thinks. You've got to get to Jesus. So he cried out, Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy. And people come running to him. Shh. Shut that up. We don't do that here. I want to stop. Shh. There was the church. Pastor told me one time there were some young people in the church came in, give their heart to God. That night, no music, no drums, no guitar. They got to the front of that building and began to worship God and cry out to God. Needless to say, it got a bit noisy in the church, alright? Alright? And that was fine for that night. But the next week, some more came in and they began to worship together. After about 3 weeks, some of the elders went to the pastor. And they went in his office and they stuck their long finger in his face and they said, we want you to put a stop to this. We are sick of them disrupting our service. We're sick and tired of it and we want you to stop it and stop it right now. Thank God for what the pastor said. He said, I didn't start it and I ain't going to stop it. Brother, if you didn't start it, what makes you think it's any of your business to try to stop it? Woo! Kind of like the sister that went to the church there with her children, went in there, and of course they was dignified. And they said, oh man, like a cat with a cramps, Brother Rem said. Got in there, the preacher said something that she liked, and she went, amen! A few minutes went by and he said something. She went, hallelujah! Right. And it's amazing to me. It's because the deacon thought it was his responsibility to run down to the front of the church where this one was at. And he said, may I help you? What is wrong with you? She said, I found the Holy Ghost. He said, well, you didn't find it here, so shut up. Whew. Ain't it something? When we're here worshiping under the presence of God, and the Spirit of the Lord is here pouring out, and your heart is melting in His presence, why is it? Do you realize every church, I have found this out evangelizing, every church has their own fire department. They got their own fire department. Because somebody comes to the altar, they feel like it is their spiritual obligation to take their 2.5 hose because a little fire starts at the altar and they feel like it's their duty to run down there and open the fire hose or try to put the fire out. Next subject. Brother and sister, what's wrong with somebody crying out to God at an altar? What's wrong? We get emotional over some of the stupidest stuff there ever has been. Why can't somebody get excited about Jesus? Why can't somebody get thrilled about Jesus passing by? We need Him tonight to come by. We need a fire in our homes, fire in our church, fire in the pulpits. Bartimaeus! I love what Brother Ram said today. I heard him say, some of them was throwing rotten fruit at Jesus. And when Bartimaeus stood up to go find Jesus, they shoved him back down. How many young people has tried to find a real experience with God? And everything around them keeps them shoved down. Preach, Brother David. But Bartimaeus didn't care what them cold, dead, starchy church members had to say. Woo. The Bible says in verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. I like this. This is my kind of church. I'm a little noisy. If you don't know, I'm a little noisy. But I can't help it. I've been this way since I've been, well, before I was even that high. But he cried the more a great deal. You know what that means? The more they said hush, the more he cried out. The more they said quiet down, the more he cried. Why are you excited anyway? The PA's too loud. They didn't sing my favorite song tonight. I had a man leave my church from that. PA's too loud. God bless you. Hope you find somewhere happy sailing. Y'all's music's just too loud. Oh, I see. So church has got to be the way you think it should be. I say let him have his way. If he wants me to cry, I want to cry. If he wants me to sing, I want to sing. If he wants me to raise my hand under the quietness, I want to raise my hand under the quietness. The word cry means, the Greek kroxo, to cry out in distress or need. That's a good way to cry in it. Cry to get one's attention. A child's cry. Everybody knows what a child's cry is. I mean, you know, you can hear children crying, but there's different cries. There's playing cries, right? There's cries where they fell down, but they got back up. And then there's toad croaking, gurgling cry. And you are all out to get where they are because you know something bad is wrong. And I have to believe this is a cry that he needs to get somebody attention. He knows this might be my last chance. This may be my only opportunity to be able to see Jesus. So he croxoed. Listen now, when he cried, that's when they came against him. That's a dangerous spot to be in. They told him to hold his peace. Listen, friends, right there is such a dangerous, pivotal spot. It's when you start crying out, everything starts working against you. From every angle. Come on, somebody. When you're really on the threshold of a breakthrough, really on the threshold of really moving to that place, and you know, I'm almost there, I'm almost there, and you start crying out, and everything in your life seems to turn upside down. You may think that's people. I'm telling you, that is your opportunity. Satan is fighting with everything he can to drive you back to quit crying. He's trying to do everything he can. Use every avenue possible to shut you up. And if we ain't careful, it'll pull us right back down into our shell and we miss our visitation. Voices from your past. Who do you think you are anyway? They'll tell you, Jesus don't care nothing about you. Voices of intimidation. Voices of doubt. Voices of discouragement. Voices that tells you, you're not changed. You ain't changed. You're always going to be like this. You're always going to sit here, Bartimaeus. You're always going to be here. And you're never going to be different than you are right now. But here's what I see. If you know you're out of options, right? When you get to the place that the bank can't fix it, a doctor can't fix it, a pill can't fix it, a man can't fix it, preach Brother David, your church can't fix it. That's when you realize, I ain't got no other options. I'm going to have to crock so. He sit here every day. He ain't got no more options. Listen, friends, his turtle doves are gone. His eye-seeing lamb, it's gone. He has no other options. Listen, friends, listen from your heart. If you give up after one prayer, you're in trouble. If you give up after one cry, you're in trouble. Amen. If you give up, you will not get what you need from God. I double dog dare you to cry out to get what you need from God. I dare you to stand there and say, Lord, I ain't giving up until I get my need met. One commentary said that blind Bartimaeus, oh my, was the Jacob of the New Testament. He said, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. He heard how Jacob had wrestled with the angel all night long. And now he said, I ain't going to quit crying. I ain't going to quit until I get my need met. You ain't stopping me. Doubters ain't stopping me. I'm getting my need met. Glory. Listen, friends. Because when he cried out even that much more, this time it swapped into another dimension from a cry from his lips which the crowd could deaden. The crowd could deaden his physical voice. But the cry he was crying with was more than a natural utterance, but a faith, an utterance of faith, had reached down deep from within Bartimaeus, and it pierced that crowd, pierced those doubters, pierced those unbelievers. And Jesus, whoosh, that word stands mean he was stuck still. He'd been summoned by faith. And Jesus, Jesus stood still. Oh, hallelujah. Stand still, 1957. Saskatoon. Jesus stood still and said, bring him here. Oh, brother, Jesus stood still. And they brought the beggar to him. His faith had stopped the Son of God. It brought him to a standpoint, to a still stop. And I say tonight, I don't care who you are, what your name is, how poor you are, how far gone you are, your faith can bring God to a standstill. Be still, know that I'm God. Don't listen to the rumbling bubble of the outside world and these things like that. Stand still and know that I'm God. From that time, his faith has stopped. God. And if you're blind tonight, spiritually blind, your faith can stop him. If you wonder what's the matter with people when they're crying and worshiping God, you think there's something mentally wrong with them, your faith can stop him and you'll be a changed person from then on. That's right. Your faith can stop him. You know what Brother Bram did? He took this from Mark chapter 10 and he brought it to June 2013. And he said the same thing that brought Jesus to him. You can do the same thing in this building tonight. Brother David, you don't know how bad my need is. You don't know how big my God is. You don't know how big my problem is. You don't know how big and what things that God can do for you if you just ask. Had Bartimaeus not cried out, he would have died a blind beggar. What if he would have gave up when they told him to shut up? He'd never been healed. That means when your flesh tells you that it's not going to happen, you're not going to get your need met, you must press through every avenue of doubt. Amen, somebody. Leave them old rusty trails of doubt and unbelief and begin to clear a new path. Path of faith. Path of believing. A path where all things are possible. But sisters, you will have to be relentless at times. Persevere. You have to be so determined. Ain't nothing going to stop you from getting your need met. And Jesus stood still. I love this next part. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded, summoned him to be called. You know what he just made, don't you? An appointment. Blind Bartimaeus has got an appointment with Jesus. And Jesus keeps his appointment. He wouldn't have called him had he not wanted him. And they call the blind man. They did. Saying to him, be of good comfort. He rise. He calleth thee. The people that told him to shut up is now commanded by Jesus to go get that blind man. God made his enemies his footstool. Glory! Don't you love him? But that's just like my God, isn't it? Everything in the world works against you, and God can use those things to turn it right around to use it for your blessing. God can bring a blessing out of a cursing. They may curse you now, but eventually they're going to have to bless you. They called the blind man, saying unto him, I love this. Be of good comfort. Rise. And shine. I mean, rise. He calleth thee. Bartimaeus had been calling to him, but because his faith made Jesus stand still, and in turn, glory, Jesus calls to him. Lord. Now remember, he's still blind. He's still blind. But they said, be a good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. Be a good comfort. Oh, you missed it. Be a good comfort, rise. He called. In other words, he's blind and he's still blind. But because Jesus is calling, you can go ahead and start rejoicing because the quarter's in your pocket. Glory! It's just as good as standing there here. Beggars, in that day, they wore mantles, cloaks, Brother Bram said. Bartimaeus, when you're blind and you're a beggar, Whatever you have in your possession, you're proud of it. Because it's all you got. But Brother Dave, what if it stinks? It's all he's got. He'll have nice things. And he's sitting there with that mantle over him. And he's got it on him, begging for alms. But now he said, be a good comfort, rise. He called thee. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment. He, casting away his garment. But Lamb said, when he rose up, he throwed that garment. And he didn't care where it landed at. He wasn't concerned on who it fell on. He didn't care who it offended. But Lamb said, he knew if he throwed the cloak down, he knew when he got done with Jesus, he could find it anyway. He casting away his garment. Brother, he took off that garment of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. He took off that garment of blindness and put on a garment of eyesight. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. One commentary said he got rid of his garment because being blind, running to Jesus, he didn't want his garment to get in front of him, to trip him, to keep him from making it. The literal translation means he wanted no impediment in the way. He wanted nothing stopping him. He didn't want nothing hindering him. He didn't want nothing to trip him up. He was on his way to Jesus and he wanted nothing to keep him from making it. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run. This is my opportunity. This is my opportunity. He wants nothing between him and Jesus. He don't care where it goes. He don't care where it lands. Think about it. He was sitting. But because he had ears to hear, because he had ears to hear, he heard Jesus. He recognized it was Jesus. So he was hearing, recognizing, and now he's acting on it. Can I say something about the bride? He has called us into action. We've heard it. We've recognized it for years. But now it's time we're called into action. There's going to be times you're going to have to run when there's trouble all around you. There's going to be times when doubters. Can you imagine the doubters? Bartimaeus, where are you going anyway? What do you think that message is going to do? Don't you realize we can't find no records anywhere where there's 16 men that fell off a bridge? Don't you understand? What about the bridge, Bartimaeus? He don't care nothing about bridges. Preach, Brother David. He don't care nothing about bridges. He don't care nothing about rockets. All he knows is I'm blind and I want to see. I think there's something about Jesus' birth certificate that just ain't right. I'm not sure about that. Ain't sure if it's got the right year. Ain't sure who his daddy is. We're not real sure who his mama is. Bartimaeus don't care about birth certificates. He don't care about rockets out of California. He don't care about men falling off bridges. All he knows is, I want to see Jesus! Yeah. Brother, sister, listen to me very closely. There's gonna be some things you're gonna have to shed if you're gonna make it. You're gonna have to shed all this unbelief away from you. All these doubters, shed it. Amen! He left the side of that road. And I'm going to tell you something. He ain't going back. Let me tell you something about David Siler. I've left the side of that road and I ain't going back. I don't care about what you think. I don't care about your ideas. I ain't going back to the side of the road. I've been delivered and I ain't going back. Oh, I gotta quit. Oh, glory. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, like he don't know. You know what I mean? Like he don't know. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? I got something out of this. Let me share with you what I got. Jesus knows what you need, but there's times that you need to hear what you need. There's times you need to hear the testimony come out of your lips. You need to hear about a God that can heal, a God that can deliver, a God that can save. There's times you need to hear you say it. Your faith is going to have to open up and say it sometimes. But Brother David, I'm asking for a lot. I'm asking for big things. Good. God can deliver big things. I was preaching on that thought line here the other day. Said, if you want to escalate, pray for an escalate. Ask God for it. If you need one, He'll give it to you. Man come back to me a few weeks later. I went back there a few months later, was preaching, and he pulled up this big old nice shiny rig. He said, God, give me my escalate. Hey friends, He's the same God that can give you a toothbrush. Why don't we get the idea? I'm just going to barely ask. If I just barely ask, He don't have to do a whole lot. And really, He don't have to do a whole lot. So if I don't ask for a lot, He don't have to move a lot. Why ask for such small, little bitty insignificant things when we're afraid to ask God for the needs that we really got? You ain't fooling God, and there's times you need to hear it come out of your lips to that way you'll know that your God is that big. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Can people tell how big your God is by what you ask Him for?
Man, I need to write that down, man. That's all right. I need a copy of that CD. I'll buy it. Amen.
Jesus says, what do you want, Bartimaeus? He says, I want $1 billion. I want a home in the Hamptons. I want a Ferrari. God knew what his need was, and Jesus knew what his need was. And Jesus answered, what will thou I do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, I just want my sight back. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Watch this next part. I caught this morning, man. I like, oh, it's good. Thy faith had made thee whole. Think about it. Not your begging. Not even your crying. But Jesus said your faith did. I always wondered where Brother Ram said his faith made him stand still. And this is it. His faith made them whole. And immediately. That's how quick God can change our lives tonight. Immediately. Immediately. Just in the twinkling of an eye, blink of an eye, immediately he received his sight. Brother Ram said he stood there just for a minute with his hands to his face. And he said he was trying to look and all he could see was a shadow. Remember those days? All he could see was just a shadow. But the longer he stood there, the more clear that it got. That's how fast God can change your life. Think about this. His days of begging is over. Them days of suffering is gone. And they all left just in a moment. And the Bible says he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Stand still, 1957. And as that old beggar stood there looking at his hands, procession going on down the street, Jesus went on. He got his need met. So his faith released Jesus, and Jesus kept going. He began to see after a bit, and he began screaming and running after Jesus. What?
Why are you running after Jesus? You can see now. Oh, but somebody else needs to know what this man's done for me. Somebody else needs to be the one running behind him in case there's another beggar that needs to hear the crowd, that needs to hear the voices. Voices of faith. Voices of belief. This message began with a man sitting. It ends with a man running down the road. What's the end of your story? Where are you at tonight? Are you sitting? Or do you desire to be running down the road following Jesus? Let's bow our hearts, let our music players come. I heard Brother Ram say today, Jesus was passing through Jericho. He's never coming back to Jericho. He's on his way to Calvary. He would never pass this way again. He's never coming through Jericho again. If Bartimaeus, if he's going to get his healing, he's got to get it right now. And I don't know what your name is, maybe, or who you are, or what your problem is, or what situation you're going through. But you cannot keep putting off with that need in your heart. You can't keep pushing it off, just begging, just to get you by to another service. Bartimaeus, he can heal you immediately. It don't take going to an altar or coming to the front. It takes you by faith, sitting there believing that God cares enough about me and my faith in His Word to omnipotence can meet in this building tonight. They can meet by the preaching of the Word that's coming forth from the pulpit. It can meet in something happening in your life. I don't know what you've been praying about, and ain't nobody slipped me no coin to tell me your business. But I want to tell you something. Bartimaeus, you got an opportunity. Why is it that we suffer sometimes for months and years with the same old stuff day in and day out? Brothers and sisters, think about it. What opportunities we have right here in this assembly. Think about what we've heard just in the last couple of months, just in the last couple of weeks. Think about what God has said to you. What's He been doing? Telling you that He loves you. He cares about you. He just needs you to cry out and stop Jesus. Oh my. If you've been striving, praying for something, maybe you've been this, just asking God for a fresh vision. Maybe just a spiritual refreshing. I still believe in a refilling. I believe God can fill your cup tonight. But David, I got the Holy Ghost. That's good. But remember, they got filled on the day of Pentecost. They went back needing a refilling of it. Sometimes we get to the place we just feel stale. I don't say that just to look down at you. I'm telling you, I know I've been there. You get to the place you just feel stale. Don't curse the position. Just cry out to God. Maybe you've gotten lax. Maybe you just need to get your passion back, your zeal back. What do I got to do? Croxo. Croxo. And deliverance. Deliverance will come. Well, Brother David, what's got to happen? What do I got to do? All you have to do is believe. When you call on His name, just believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I fought with preaching this tonight, just to be honest with you. But I just couldn't get away from it. Just couldn't get away from it. All night long, I'd dream about it, dream about it, dream about it, wanting to preach something else. You just get tired of preaching things. You're just simple and simple and simple. I can't just help it. It's just what's on my heart. But I don't believe God would have placed this on my heart had there not been somebody that needs to croxo out to God. Maybe you got an issue you'd be ashamed to tell anybody else around you, or even in your family, what you're dealing with. Oh, friends, Jesus knows what you're going through. You got to believe. Hallelujah. Touching Jesus is all that matters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. We love you tonight, Lord. Where would we be had you not passed by our way? Where would we be at tonight, Lord, had you not called unto us? I'd dare say we'd still be sitting somewhere in a Baptist church, Methodist, somewhere out in the world, maybe sitting on a bar stool. We'd be sitting somewhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for me letting me hear your voice in my life personally. I thank you what you've done in my family, friends, my brothers and sisters here in this building. But Lord, I want to personally thank you for what you've done for me. Oh, Jesus. How we need you tonight. Lord, if you'd pass by here, I'd croak so to you, Lord. And you said if we called, you'd answer. Oh, Jesus, here's tonight, I pray. Granted, our Heavenly Father.
Oh, and there's only one way to touch you.
What do I gotta do?
Just believe when you call on.
Oh, why don't you stand on your feet tonight and tell him?
Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Let him know tonight from your heart.
Only in your life you'll never be the same.
Doubters They tried to restrain her. She whispered these words through her pain, touching Jesus. Much closer, the pull I felt was more than I could just bear, and I was on the verge of simply just giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But I cried out, Jesus, something keeps calling me. Every day I see, helping me
just get so strong, and the pull you feel is more than you can bear. And I was on the verge of just simply saying yes, Satan, I'll do it.
Tonight,
Jehovah,
Lord Jesus, I cry out with my sister.
Jireh,
I bind together by faith, Lord. Satan, you are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, my sister, Lord.
Is he more than enough? That's Jesus. Been set free, Jehovah Shammah. That's Jesus.
Amen.
You are with me. You supply.
I've been saved.
The old timers used to sing, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. You just call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him.
The Lord. And we appreciate Brother David obeying the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to be like blind Bartimaeus too. In my time of need, I want to have the ability to stop Jesus. I don't want to just study the message and quote it and talk about it, but I want to have the ability to actually stop Jesus right in His tracks for my needs. Praise God. To me, friends, how much more impact can you have on Him? You want to sit down and talk theology with Jesus? Is that what you want? You want to sit down and talk Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew and explain all the doctrines to Jesus? You couldn't hold Him a lot. But to be able to stop Him for your needs and your troubles and your distress. What more could we ask for, Brother Dan? It's been good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Oh my, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so appreciate Your word tonight, Lord. We appreciate our brother getting out of the way and bringing what You placed upon his heart. I've been there so many times myself, Lord, to where You want to bring this way or go that way, and something just keeps pressing. Thank You for servants of God that will follow that, Lord. We so appreciate it tonight. Now, Father, we have coming up in a couple of days the banquet for our youth. Brother Aaron McGarry coming in tomorrow sometime. Be speaking at that on Friday and then speaking for us on Saturday and on Sunday. I feel for certain that I can say by then we'll have more needs. We'll have things in our lives. Now, we appreciate the service tonight. Yet by Friday, tonight will be history. So we'll meet together again and we'll pull our feet under Your table, as it were. Lord, we want to say thank You tonight for this visitation of the Holy Ghost. Thank You for Your word, once again reminding us, Lord, the ability that we have as Your people to call You on the scene in our lives. Lord, I thank You. So appreciate You, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. Go with Your children now. Thank You for blessing Your children. I believe we're going to hear testimonies of people that were healed and delivered and great things that were done from this service tonight. We love You, dear God, and we so appreciate You. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Remember the services this weekend, the youth banquet on Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday, Brother Aaron McGarry will be with us, so we're looking forward to that. Joel, you got something on your heart, buddy? God bless you, saints.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone let my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire. You're my friend and You are my brother, even though You are the King.